Good morning to you. Thanks for waking up with us. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up in her final hour, we will look back at both games from Monday Night Football, with the Dolphins getting a win but losing a huge part of their team with the injury to Tyreek Hill. In 20 minutes, we'll get you ready for the postseason in Major League Baseball. It starts today, so we will chat with Britt Ciroli from The Athletic. And finally, we will lay out our official betting cards at 8:40 and chat with the Donkster. Welcome to our audience on Stadium as we stream our final hour. If you want to do that, we make it easy for you. Just go to BallySportsLive.com or download the Bally Sports Live app. We're also on YouTube TV, DirecTV, Amazon Prime, and Samsung TV Plus. To football we go, wrapping up week four, Monday Night Football last night, and we begin in Miami. The Dolphins downing the Jets 27-21. The Dolphins laying 2.5 points. They are minus 150 on the money line, and the overhits total up at MGM set at 44 and a hook. Tua Tagovailoa, 177 yards in the air, and 2 touchdowns, both to his tight end.
They fake it to Gordon, Tua on the move, and flips into the end zone for a touchdown. The second time, it's Darren Waller.
That's Chris Fowler on ESPN. Waller makes 3 catches for 27 yards in his first NFL game in 2 years. Dolphins on top 17-3 in the third. Jets pull within a score when Justin Fields takes off on a 43-yard touchdown run, but the Fins answer right back.
Fields, Achan, eludes a tackler, and scores! Miami does answer!
Achan, 20 carries, 99 yards in that score. Tua moves to 7-0 against the Jets as Miami's starting quarterback. Dolphins win for the 10th straight time at home against the Jets, but they do suffer an awful loss in this game. Tyreek Hill carted off the field in the third quarter with a dislocated knee. Earlier this morning, ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting that Hill also tore multiple ligaments in his knee, including his ACL. He will have surgery later on today. So, great win by the Dolphins, or a much-needed win is probably a better way to put it. You just hated seeing Tyreek Hill being carted off, and now he's done for the year.
Yeah, absolutely depressing for the Dolphins, who, fresh off their first win of the season, and it did feel like a very desperate game for the Dolphins. And from a betting standpoint, oddsmakers got this one right. I saw this line. I was like, the Dolphins favored in this game by 2.5 points. What am I missing here? But the Dolphins did look better, at least offensively speaking. From a quarterback perspective, Tua looked like he wasn't seeing ghosts in this game, which was a nice change from last game, where it felt like he was more confident. He even ran the ball to pick up a few first downs, or maybe one first down that I am remembering, to where he just looked more confident in his throws. He was connecting with his receivers, and the offense just looked better overall. But to me, the story of this game was penalties called against the Jets. And some of these maybe should have gone in the other direction. There was a... it felt egregious to me. Offensive holding or something. It was offensive... interference, I believe, against the Jets that took back a touchdown. So they had 13 penalties this game for 101 yards. That is not good in the NFL. When you're a team that is winless, you cannot be sloppy in those situations, because the Jets actually outgained the Dolphins in this game 404 yards to 300. But they did have 3 costly turnovers in this game as well. So the Jets, go put your nose in the corner. You now move to 0-4 on the season.
Man, Aaron Glenn, that poor guy, still searching for his first win as Jets head coach. And yeah, when you're a team that is one of the lesser talented teams in the National Football League, you can't turn the football over. They had 3 turnovers last night, so Dolphins get 3 takeaways. And then not only that, I mean, you mentioned the penalties. So you don't have to play necessarily clean football, but you can't have that many yellow rags on the turf and expect to win games when you're the Jets and when you have a history of losing in Miami and you lack a lot of talent anyway. So this was, I'm actually surprised the Jets were able to sort of hang in it until late in the fourth. And, you know, it's probably not as close as a score looked, but they kept getting within 1 score and they just could not keep pace with Miami.
Yeah, I think the most disappointing part, and I need to clear the air, offensive pass interference. I don't know why I couldn't think of that term on the air, but I know it. But the most disappointing part about the Jets is their defense. Like, for a team that's coached by Aaron Glenn, some of these missed tackles that they were making, and I understand Devon Achan is a very talented and shifty player, But still, like, these are tackles that you have to be making, especially when your head coach is a defensive-minded head coach. So we came into the season thinking, okay, the Jets at least maybe have a good defensive line. Maybe they can slow down some of these teams. But it really hasn't been the case.
Yeah, it's amazing sometimes how football comes down to the basics, you know, even at the pro level, where you can look at scheme and you can look at, you know, all of the film that you want to before a particular matchup. And at the end of the day, it's like, you know what? We just didn't tackle well. And, you know, and that's what we saw from the Jets last night. So you can say, okay, the Dolphins have more talent, or Mike McDaniel is a very good offensive head coach or offensive play caller, and he does a good job, and he has done over the years, even though Miami has faltered over the past year and a half or so. But at the end of the day, if you don't tackle, it's not going to matter.
Yeah, especially with some of these guys, because they're so fast. Like, that's the thing about the Dolphins, and I think that's why a lot of people are, I'm not going to say shocked, but disappointed that the Dolphins only have one win this season, because they have such an exciting skill set of guys who are just really, really fast. And I know Tyreek Hill is now out for the season, but still, when you have Jalen Waddle, when you have Javon Achane, even Ollie Gordon, who comes in as a power back, it's not like this is a team that's bereft of weapons. So it was nice to finally see them last night. But again, like, the fundamentals absolutely have to get better for the Jets if they plan on winning a game this year.
I mean, they'll win at some point, I think. I think they'll have to. And Justin Fields looked good at times last night. I mean, he definitely showed why they brought him in, right? But the Jets were so one-dimensional. You know, we talk about Breece Hall and that backfield, but they really didn't run the ball that much. It was more of the Justin Fields show. Let's drop Justin back and see if he can complete a pass. And if he can't, then he can take off with the football. And that's just not winning football.
Well, I mean, if you look at the numbers, like, averaging 7 yards per carry looks like a pretty good thing. It's just, at the end of the day, it felt like some of those penalties were just momentum shifting. Like that OPI call that took back that touchdown, that's when the game kind of got out of hand. And for a team that was running the ball effectively, like, when you're playing from behind, you can't really use that to your advantage as much when time is not on your side.
Yeah, and also you have to be more consistent. That's the one thing I've learned about stats over time, is that they do tell a story to a point, but also, you know, you can have two or three long runs and that greatly exaggerates your consistency on the ground or your consistency running the football or being effective. So the Jets would have moments where, all right, they break up a long run, but then they're not consistent. They have those penalties, and that's generally what happens to a bad football team. So again, Jets 0-4. The Dolphins will move on with a dub. They visit the Panthers next week, while the Jets will host the Cowboys. Elsewhere on Monday night, we had the Broncos and the Bengals going at it, and this was not close. The Broncos all over Cincy, 28-3. Broncos laying 7. They were minus 400 on the money line. Total set at 44 and a hook. The under hits. Bo Nix with a nice evening at home. First, getting it done on the ground.
Nix wants it on the ground. Touchdown, Denver.
That's Joe Buck on ESPN. 7-3 Denver at that point, and the Nix takes to the air.
On third down and 2. Nix, end zone. Sutton. He's got it.
Nix, 326 yards in the air, 2 touchdowns, 21-3 Broncos then, and they wrap it up from there. J.K. Dobbins, 101 yards on the ground. The Bengals were just, what is the right, they sucked. It's probably the best. They were so,
they're so bad.
I mean, my God, I'd rather watch the Jets on offense all day long. The Jets look like a well-oiled machine compared to the Bengals. The Bengals drive down the field. They get a field goal on their first possession of the game. You're like, all right, got some points on the board. Their next 8 possessions, all punts, and they didn't get past the 50-yard line for the rest of the game. Jake Browning, 14 of 25, 125 yards. The Bengals overall, 159 yards of total offense, only 2 third-down conversions. Atlanta Wojciechowski could do better than that. Chelsea, your friend, like, anybody could do better than Jake Brown. He was
Asher
awful.
Asher Wojciechowski?
Oh, what's that?
Orlando. Did you call him Orlando?
No, Alana. Alana, right?
Oh, his wife, yeah. No, yeah. She doesn't play any sports. But yeah, when it comes to the Bengals, it just felt like offensively they were so overmatched when it came to this Broncos defense, because the Bengals offensive line has not been good. Like, for the entirety of the season, we knew that. But when your offensive line is terrible, Jake Browning's not getting a ton of time to throw, and you're facing a secondary that has the reigning NFL Defensive Player of the Year in Pat Surtain, it feels like it really negates your weapons. Because, like, the one redeeming factor for the Bengals, it certainly ain't their defense. It's their receivers. You know, you look at this receivers, cupboard, and you say, oh, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, you should be scoring some points. Well, if your quarterback doesn't have time to throw it to these receivers, and these receivers are never open due to the secondary of the Broncos, it just feels like you're in over your head, especially when you're a backup quarterback in Jake Browning. So it just feels like, you know, Joe Burrow has been a Band-Aid for a lot of the problems for the Bengals, but you take him out of there and it just all comes crashing down. And, like, think about this. Like, Joe Burrow put up MVP numbers last year and they still didn't make the playoffs. So when you put Jake Browning in this situation, what do you think he's going to do?
God. You talk about showcasing how good Joe Burrow really is. Like, not only is he one of the best quarterbacks in the game, but then you put in Jake Browning and you see, oh, not only are you as good as you have been, one of the best in the game, but you're able to overcome this patchwork line, like these guys, which did not do a good job last night. And so when you have a quarterback who is a backup in Jake Browning, if your line is already bad, don't expect great results. And so if you're the Bengals, don't you have to think about maybe going after another quarterback? Because, look, the Bengals are 2-2. And their season is not over, despite the fact that they have looked like an absolute garbage bag over the past 2 weeks. I mean, blown out by the Vikings last night was ugly. They've got to find a way to, even if it's limping into the postseason, find a way to get in. Because if they can do that, Joe Burrow comes back. And as we know, Joe Burrow makes up for a lot of different deficiencies. Like, it's amazing what you can overcome if you're a quarterback who is that good. But few quarterbacks are that good. And maybe you can find someone between Jake Browning and Joe Burrow and then get to the postseason. I don't know who you would get, but it seems like over two games, not a big sample size, but the Bengals, it feels like they should not go with Jake Browning, and they don't have time to waste. Like, they can't wait four or five games and see how this plays out and lose the majority of those games. They need to start winning because it's not going to get any easier.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, like, I just don't know if it's worth it. For a team that doesn't even like spending money, like, it took a lot of hemming and hawing for them to pay their star players. So I just think a lot of it will be price dependent. Like, you know, if people throw out the Kirk Cousins angle, I just feel like he's too much money and I don't think they're going to spend it. And, like, think about an old Kirk Cousins behind that offensive line. That ain't going to be good either. Especially when your defense is giving up all these points. So it just feels pointless to me. So Cincinnati, it feels like there is no hope. Just give up.
Oh, don't tell him to give up. If Kirk Cousins is back there, he could do a better job than Jake Browning. And I'm not a Kirk Cousins apologist.
He might die.
He might. It would still be better than Jake Browning.
Not if he's dead.
I mean, at least Kirk is healthy now. Because at the end of last season, I cannot believe I'm making excuses for Kirk Cousins. Like, oh my God, shoot me in the face. I'm just saying at the end of last year when he was so bad, and I believe he led the league in interceptions or was close, he was just not himself. I think he had a shoulder injury, so he was trying to play through it, and now he's healthy. So any sort of veteran presence who is an upgrade over Jake Browning at least gives you a fighting chance, yes, behind a bad offensive line, and yes, with a defense that leaves a lot to be desired, but at least you have a chance. Jake Browning is a career backup for a reason. He's been mediocre at best. You got to have someone back there who can at least try and move the sticks.
At what cost? Like, how much money would you pay for Kirk Cousins? Because I don't think Atlanta is going to give him up for nothing. You know, he is a very good backup quarterback, and we see with all the injuries, it's nice to have a good backup quarterback, especially a veteran who your young guy can learn from. So I just think it's too cost prohibitive. Maybe there's somebody else out there, maybe Jameis, but I do think you have to think about the dollars and cents as well.
Yeah, you do. If you're the Falcons, you have to be willing to take a discount and say, look, nobody's going to grab this guy at this price. So if we want to move him, maybe we can get something in return, but the Falcons would have to acquiesce, and then the Bengals would have to go after him in the first place. We've got baseball and football on the way. Much more to come here on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Stay right there. I'm Jake. She's Chelsea. Coming up on the show, we've got postseason baseball today. All day long, we get baseball, starting with the Guardians and Tigers at 1 o'clock. So we'll ask some questions and see if we have some answers when it comes to baseball's postseason. I mean, I would imagine that you, baseball guru, going to be locked in. Obviously, Jake played Major League Baseball. And that brings me to my next question. I have a couple questions. A, how much baseball are you going to watch today? B, according to my schedule, Blake has a softball game tonight. Is this correct?
She does. And she also has team pictures. So it is a big day to where she also has to look good. And we can't just throw her hair up in a messy bun. So we've been working on things. And here's the problem. Like, we are very much a family that has a history, I guess, in softball and baseball. Because obviously Jake played baseball in the major leagues. But also was like a good softball player. I could have played in college, but I was better at swimming, so I did that. But Blake loves soccer. Like, Blake likes soccer more than softball at this point. So, like, during the week, she's not currently playing soccer. She's going to play in the spring. But she wants to practice soccer all the time. And I'm like, Blake, we have a softball game tomorrow. Can we practice a little bit? She's like, I just want to kick the soccer ball. So, like, she's five, so I don't want to, like, press on her too hard. But it does feel disappointing because, like, obviously the genetics are there, but kids are going to do what they want to do. So I'm trying not to push too hard.
I got really into softball at one point after high school when I went to Texas. We had an intramural team, and twice we finished second in intramurals. Like, just couldn't get over the hump. We're like the Buffalo Bills of intramural softball at Texas. We had such a good team, though, and both times we got to the championship game and fell. And that just, you know, that was tough. That was tough. Good group. Great group.
Yeah. Jake played just in the big leagues, but Jake's finished second in intramural softball.
I'm a man of the people. You can have your Major League Baseball player, your husband. Most people can't relate to that. Everyone can relate to a guy playing weekend softball, playing intramural softball. Everybody's done that at some point. I feel like whether it's in school, not in school, like, softball's a game that everyone can kind of get on board with.
Yeah, but it's so different from, like, fast pitch softball.
Oh, yeah. Because,
like, obviously the pitch is coming in at a different angle. The strategy is different. Like, softball as opposed to baseball, I feel like small ball is huge. Like, it's funny that the ball is bigger, but, like, slapping, I don't know if you know what that is. It's like girls that hit from the left side and they try to just slap it into the holes where players aren't. And bunting and stealing, it's a big deal in softball. So softball and baseball obviously have a lot of parallels, but they're also very different. And especially, like, slow pitch softball as opposed to, like, fast pitch. Because, like, slow pitch softball is, like, I think of, like, big men who are just hitting tanks over the fence, like 400 feet, where they just sit back and just crush it with a huge beer belly.
Yeah, I experienced that in my small town. I played softball actually after college. I would go home and play in, like, a summer league, and we got our butts kicked every year by the Smokers. You know who the Smokers were? The Smokers were a bunch of dudes. I mean, I wish they were just guys that smoked cigarettes. They were guys that ran a barbecue joint, like a barbecue smoker, right? So they ran a local barbecue joint in town. And so what did they do? Big old boys, big old bellies coming out with their beards, and they'd come out with their, you know, these huge dudes, and they would play slow pitch softball, and they would just jack home run after home run. And they were intimidated. It's like, oh God, we play the Smokers this week. And they would crush us. And then what's crazy is that when I went home to visit my parents in Granbury, Texas, and they took us to a barbecue place, me and the lovely Catherine, and the Smokers, two of the guys that played on the Smokers, played, or they opened up this barbecue joint called Double M Barbecue. And so my parents were like, hey, remember the Double M Barbecue back home? I was like, yeah, I remember the guys that ran that place. They played on the Smokers. And he was like, yeah, they opened up this place here. I was like, unbelievable. Here I am, years and years later, after getting crushed by the Smokers, still feeding their pockets, eating their barbecue. Unbelievable. Just taking L after L when it comes to those guys. Let's get some dubs today when it comes to Major League Baseball, Chelsea. So we can start with Tigers, Guardians, and Padres, Cubs, and this is the schedule today. Red Sox, Yankees, Reds, Dodgers. Mm-hmm. But we've handicapped the games, and we'll pick some games here in our next segment. But let me ask you some questions that CBS Sports posed and see what you think here. And some of these are interesting. Some of them are meh. But these are some of the predictions that they think are going to happen in this year's postseason. Number one, and I don't think this is anything crazy, Shohei Ohtani will start a game and close a game. Isn't this something that we see and that it would not be shocking to see? This is what happens when you have a top-end pitcher and you need that pitcher to close out maybe an inning or get you a couple outs at the end so you can get a win.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide if this is like made for a very casual audience of people who aren't used to watching postseason baseball, because we see this every postseason. It does not matter if you are a starter or a reliever. These teams are going to use the best arm available to close out some of these games when the season is on the line. Like, we have seen all kinds of like number one aces who come in relief. We've seen this with Garrett Cole. We've seen this with Justin Verlander. So like, when the game and your season is on the line, of course, if Ohtani is fresh and he's willing to go, why wouldn't you get him in there? Like, I understand that maybe it's a little different for him because of the injury history and you don't want to use him too much. But like, if you have him in the cupboard and you lose a game, you're like, well, at least Ohtani's fresh for what, the offseason? So this doesn't feel like a bold take at all.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I get it. Shohei Ohtani's mega talent. I think they're leaning into the idea that, oh, this is Shohei Ohtani. He can open and close a game. Well, guess what? If you're asking the best pitchers in Major League Baseball to go in and close out a game for an inning at the end of, you know, a game seven, a game six, whatever it is, then of course they're going to do that. So I don't think that's crazy either. What about this? Aaron Judge will set the American League record for intentional walks. Now, he broke the regular season record, 36 this year, most since a player has had in Major League Baseball since Albert Pujols had 38 in 2010. Does he break this record in the postseason? The all-time record, Barry Bonds, 13 in 2002.
I'm not sure if he does, but I'm not sure if Judge get walked. No, like, the bigger storyline is still, like, can the Yankees win a World Series despite, like, some of the negativity that we've seen from their fans this year and despite losing Garrett Cole to start the year? But I will say, from a practical and logical standpoint, at least in this first game, I don't think Garrett Crochet is going to be afraid to go at him. Like, maybe once we get to the bullpens of the Red Sox, and, like, obviously this is situationally speaking, you know, if there's multiple runners on and you don't want him to punish you. But Garrett Crochet has struck out Aaron Judge 11 of the 15 times that they've faced each other. So, like, if anybody's not going to be afraid to go at him, it's Garrett Crochet. I understand there is a long postseason and there's plenty of times that Aaron Judge could get walked. And he's the best hitter in baseball right now. So, like, maybe it happens, but I'm not going to lie. This one, like, doesn't really raise my temperature much. I just don't care.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I'm like, all right, good. It's hard for me to get fired up about a walk, right? Yes! I called that on the air. I host this radio show, and I was talking about how I really thought Aaron Judge would set the record for intentional walks in the postseason. People would be like, can you stop talking to me, please? I don't care. It's a walk. It's hard to get fired up about walks. Nice intentional walk.
Great.
Right. Great.
Well, and at the end of the day, like, that's not like the stat that flies off the page. Like, the stats that fly off the page in the postseason are your starting pitchers who come in and absolutely shove and put their team on their back. The timely hits. Like, we want to see clutch home runs. We want to see walk-off winners. Like, walks obviously are going to change a game, but, like, you tell me this. How much is it going to change a game if Aaron Judge gets walked and goes to first base as opposed to Aaron Judge hitting a grand slam in the ninth inning? Like, that's just not as meaningful. So, like, maybe this happens, but I don't think it's going to go down in World Series lore.
Yeah. Well, also, when's the last time you watched a highlight? Crochet facing Aaron Judge, bottom of the sixth, man on, and Judge draws the intentional walk. You'd be like, okay, what happened after that? How did they score some runs? Did they score some runs? So I'm with you. It's like, okay, that sounds great. Here's one I think is more interesting. Vlad Jr. will have a signature moment. Now, a signature moment can be defensively. It can be a walk-off home run, a timely hit, a game winner. Doesn't necessarily have to be at the plate, even though that's what we think of when we think of Vladdy Jr. Not great over the final 14 games of the season, an OPS of 375, but certainly the talent is all there. I feel like the Blue Jays are so interesting that they do have this talent, and yet maybe it's just because they don't have the name recognition. Phillies, Dodgers, they play in Canada. But the talent is right there for the Blue Jays. And when you look at their starting rotation, there's some veteran talent there as well. Like, I don't know why we're not talking more about Toronto, but if Vladdy Jr. had a big moment, that would certainly help.
Right, but again, I don't feel like this is a hot take. So the biggest name in your lineup is going to have a timely hit. Like, I feel like it would be more of a hot take to single out one of the biggest stars on a team and be like, this guy's going to be absolutely terrible, right? Mm-hmm. Like, wouldn't that be more of a hot take? And people have said this about Aaron Judge, because there's been postseasons where Aaron Judge, for as good as a hitter as he has been, in some of these timely moments, he just hasn't delivered. Like, he's had slumps in the postseason. So, like, that's more of a talking point to me, is if you look at a star player on a team and say, this guy who's great in the regular season is going to fall off a cliff and absolutely be on a milk carton for the postseason. Because, like, if Vladdy Jr. gets a big hit, like, that's supposed to be his job in the postseason, right?
Right.
You're supposed to lean on your star players. So I feel like this is more of a thing that is almost expected as opposed to something that is a hot take.
Yeah. Wasn't it last year that Aaron Judge made a crucial error in the World Series? Wasn't it game five, dropped a fly ball? I mean, that's something, if you predicted that, that would be a lot more stunning. So
yeah,
that's, you know, if Aaron Judge, if I tell you Aaron Judge had a home run, I'd be like, yeah, of course he did. If I told you he dropped a fly ball in the World Series, you'd be like, I know. You'd be like, oh, well, that's, you know, that's huge. So I get that. It's like, hey, Kyle Schwarber will hit a home run in the postseason. Okay. Well, mm-hmm. He probably should. He's due for one. Which leads me.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me add this for just a second. Yeah. I do think this needs to be thrown in there, that career, like, I am not just throwing this against the wall. Aaron Judge career in the postseason is hitting .205.
There you go.
For somebody who's hitting, what, .320 in the regular season? And he's had some great seasons. Like, last year, he had a .184 in the postseason. That's your talking point, right?
Yeah.
The captain of your team, which, I don't know if he's a captain. He probably should be if there is captain. Do they still do that anymore? Or is that name simply reserved for Derek Jeter? But if he's your best player and, like, he hits a .184, like, in 2022, he hit .139. These are crazy numbers for the best hitter in baseball. So I think he has something to prove this year.
Yeah, the more I'm looking at these predictions, I'm like, all right, don't stretch yourself too thin here. Don't go crazy here. You know what the next one is? this is not bad, but it's not. These are all very safe predictions. Like, Tarik Skubal will pitch well for the Tigers. Oh, I bet he will. But the next one is, that's not one of the predictions here. It is Bryce Harper will have a walk-off home run. Maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, wow, yeah, it's possible. Like, I mean, absolutely possible. When am I going to get the... Guys, if you need some predictions, I'll give you some predictions. These are going to be the most obvious predictions on the planet, you know? But it could happen. Bryce needs this. I will say this, and I am rooting against this, by the way. Like, I am not a Bryce Harper guy. Like, once he left D.C., I'm like, see ya, buddy. I hope you never win a title. We won one without you, and that's the way it is. I hope you never get a title. He's definitely suited for the Phillies, though. Like, he definitely fits in more with the Philly vibe and the Phillies, and you can tell that he is happy to be there. But he needs a World Series. It's the one thing he needs on his resume that he does not have. He has everything else, but he does not have a World Championship.
Well, and it's wild to me how the Philly team is constructed. And on paper, they look like a team that should win multiple World Series, right? Like, we've said this in previous years. Like, they have the best rotation, even without Zach Wheeler. They have all these big names of guys who, you know, have some postseason success. They've got the power. They, you know, have guys like Kyle Schwarber, who, again, postseason mm-hmm. heroes. He's done it before. But yet, like, we stand here, and, like, I know they've been to World Series with this, like, current roster, and they haven't gotten it done. So they're the favorites this year. So the pressure is on. And I think that in years past, they have had issues with having a first-round bye, or whatever you call it when you don't play in the wild card, where they sit around and they get rusty, and the offense just does not show up in that first round. So we'll see if that happens again this year, but the Phillies certainly have the pressure on this year because, as currently constructed, they do look like the best team in baseball, in my opinion.
I want them to go to the World Series and lose in 7 games to the Mariners or something like that. That would make me very happy. I want to see the big dumper. get a World Series MVP and Harper go home shorthanded. Double D's like, watch the Philly hate. Double D, why are you defending Philly? Are you Philly's guy? Did I forget that?
Who knows? Yes, my third cousin played for him back in the day. Come on.
Well, I don't know. You like Duke. You like Atlanta. You like the Phillies. You like Penn State. I can't keep up. Coming up next in the show, we'll keep up with our baseball bets. But which games will make the card? That's next on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. I'm Jay. She's Chelsea. Coming up on the show, oh my God, Chelsea Messenger, do my eyes deceive me? Look at this card. Four bets on the card. That's what I'm talking about. It's that time of year. Are you in a quick home improvement story? I know you don't. But
give you a quick. Do you want me to be honest?
Oh, I know. You're like, no, go back to your stupid recreational softball stories. Anything besides this. Anything. Oh, I just want to say very quickly. Last week, the back of our refrigerator was leaking, and it leaked into the condo below, which is okay. But I am responsible for that. It's our fault. And so I got the first half of the bill yesterday because the ceiling was not ruined, but ruined enough where they need to replace part of the ceiling with drywall in the condo below us. $2,200 for that nonsense. That is just... What am I going to do with that? What am I going to do? It's brutal. So I'm going to chase bets today. I'm going to win it all today on this card is what I'm going to do. What a kick in the gut.
Yeah, I feel like this is the worst part of being an adult where you're like, oh, things are going well. I've got some money to spend. Oh, no, you need to spend $1,200 on tires. You're like, what? I don't want to buy new tires. Like, it's always these adult purchases because I think when you're growing up, and like maybe this is a privileged mindset, that like when I started working, the money that I earned as a lifeguard, that went to fun stuff. I got to go to the mall. I got to buy something fun, maybe a little treat. But as you get older, you're like, no, I need to save this money for retirement. I need to pay my health insurance premium. I need to, you know, get new windows for our house. So it's one of those things that like, being an adult, point blank, just sucks.
Oh, I hate being an adult. It's the worst. Like, in my mind, I'm still, like, in my 20s, early 30s. And then I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh, no, you're not. Not even close, buddy. Now, you go downstairs, and you click on that PDF again, and you figure out how you're going to pay for this. Good thing I'm not saving for a wedding. Like, come on, man. Honey, how do you feel about a tuxedo T-shirt? Because we could save a lot of cash there instead of getting a nice tux. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Registry.
Oh, roof. Yeah, that's a good idea. Neighbor's roof repair or ceiling repair. We'll put that in the register. Listen, I know it doesn't go to us, but it kind of does. You know, that's actually not a bad idea. I've seen worse. That's a good idea. I'll take that. Well, for you, it's just going to be a bunch of baseball today. I know we talked about Blake having picture day. That'll be fun. But it's going to be really nice to have baseball today. It's when you have such an odd schedule like we do, whenever you can have sports in the afternoon, it's such a win because having these late games are just such a killer.
Yeah, like we want to go to bed nice and early. We want to be tucked in at 8:30 on the nose with our little sleepy time bear, you know, sleepy hat and pajamas. But... are we getting to best bets? Have we played the sounder yet? Let's get to it.
Time to place your bets.
Because, Jenks, I was going to go right into it. And I was like, wait. We have the sounder because Mama's got a lot of bets. So I hope you don't mind that I'm jumping on this early. All right. So first impression rose for best bets goes to the first five under. First five under 3.5 runs between the Tigers and the Guardians. So this feels like a matchup where both the pitchers should have good games because we have just seen this matchup between Gavin Williams of the Guardians and Tarik Skubal of the Tigers. Now, Tarik Skubal has been doing his best to keep his Tigers in it, but the run support just has not been there. Against the Guardians this year, 28 innings, and has only allowed 2 earned runs against Cleveland this year, including a complete game shutout earlier this season. Then you look at Gavin Williams against Detroit this year, 17 innings, allowing only 2 runs over 3 starts this year, and he's been missing a ton of bats, 21 strikeouts over his last 2 starts. So both these guys have proven that they match up well against these lineups. Plus, it's a playoff feel. First five under 3.5 is the play in the Tigers and Guardians game for -140.
Yeah, I'm going to go down that road as well and kind of piggyback on that a little bit. Tariq Skubal, if you look at day-night splits, which is something I don't generally go into, but, you know, it matters here, especially when you have a full season to look back at, because it's not like one or two starts here. And Tariq Skubal has been even better. 1.77 ERA during afternoon starts. So this should be a low-scoring affair. We're seeing it with the total, which has gone down from 6.5 to 6. So I'm with you. First five under 3.5 is -140. What else you got?
Yeah, full card. I'm betting on every single game because why not? All right, so next up, we're going to go to the late game. Like, I'm doing these in orders, in order of the way that I like them, like I'm ranking them. So Dodgers money line plus Blake Snell, 6+ strikeouts. That's -120. So the Dodgers are big favorites in this game against the Reds. Hunter Green has some good stuff, but he also is susceptible to giving up the long ball. In a start against the Dodgers this season, already allowed a 3 earned runs, I believe. And then you look at Blake Snell, who has not faced the Reds this season, but he gets a Red squad that is striking out at a really high rate, especially over the last month in baseball. Top 6 K rate in baseball, and not in a good way. They're striking out 25% of the time. Spells trouble against Blake Snell, who is a strikeout artist, somebody who's won a Cy Young, and somebody who has double-digit strikeouts in 2 of his last 3 games. So I think the Dodgers win this game. I think their bats overpower the Reds, especially since this game is at home for them. So I think that's a solid play. Next up, let's go to the Red Sox on the first five money line. +105 against the Yankees. So keep in mind, if this game is tied 0-0 in the first five innings, you get a push as opposed to playing the full game. But a lot of this hinges on the arm of Garrett Crochet, who has been very good. And the Red Sox have been good behind him. The Red Sox have won all 4 games in which Garrett Crochet has started. I'm a little nervous with the bullpens here, so we're going to go first five. But Garrett Crochet has been really good against the Red Sox this season, as I mentioned, the win-loss record. And also, in the Yankees lineup, he has struck out Aaron Judge 11 of the 15 times that he has faced him. So I think this is a good matchup for the Red Sox, plus it's a rivalry. I think plus money with the Sox today is a solid play, at least in the first five innings. And then finally, the Cubs have been fantastic at home this year. Matt Boyd has been great. Nick Pivetta's home road splits are a little jarring here. And plus, the environment at Wrigley Stadium, when it is a playoff game, I have been to these games when my husband played for the Cubs, and it gets absolutely rocking. So I'm going to go with the Cubs at home today as well.
All right. I am also going to be on the Cubs as well, -115. And we're seeing this getting bet up to -130, -135 at some shops. So still a good price here. And Nick Pivetta, as good as he's been for San Diego this season, has not been nearly as good on the road, where his ERA bumps up to 3.55. Last time he was at Wrigley, he fared okay against the Cubs. 3 runs over 3 innings. But the Cubs, as we know, very, very good at home this season. 50-39 straight up. Padres, 38-43 away from San Diego. I like the price on the home team here. -115. Let's go, Cubbies. And I'm going to go Dodgers -1 hosting the Reds. If you want the Dodgers on the run line, you can get them at plus money. That's probably a better play for most people here. But there is a big pitching mismatch here between Blake Snell and Hunter Green. Hunter Green, very good for the Reds this season at home. When he is away from Cincinnati, his ERA jumps by more than 3 runs. Dodgers with a clear hitting advantage, as they usually have. 3rd in slugging, 3rd in OPS against right-handers. And Blake Snell at home this year, 5-1 with a 1.17 ERA. Dodgers taking care of business today against the Reds. All right, before we get to Sammy P, who's logged in and ready to go, let's bring in the Dogster.
Good morning. I'm still pumped about golf, and I can't wait until this week's Ryder Cup. USA! USA!
Dogster, you know the Ryder Cup is every 2 years, right?
No, it's not. I'll see you this weekend at Hazeltine.
No, not correct. Ryder Cup is in Ireland in 2027. You know that.
What?
Yeah, that's every 2 years.
So who do I yell at this weekend?
I don't know. Maybe you watch some football.
How about this? This show sucks. This show sucks.
Oh, whoa, hey, come on. Dogster, that's not nice. Give us a bet.
Okay, Tigers at the Guardians, under 6.
Okay. Well, here's someone who never sucks. Always on point, of course. I'm talking about Sam Panayotovich. Sammy P. Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, ready to go. How you doing, buddy?
You can yell at me, Donkster. You can scream at me. You can do whatever you want.
You look great. You look great.
Oh, no. How long do we have to do this? Can I ask about sports? All right. So let me ask. So we're a big baseball betting show. We bet on baseball a lot. So like today is a big day for us. Are you dialed into the MLB postseason?
Not as much as I'd like to, if we're being completely honest. I did laugh, though, that I was going to come on and say nothing says playoffs like Matthew Boyd, and you both came out Cubs, and I'm like, oh, conflict is good, right? You trust Matthew Boyd in a playoff game?
He's been really good.
I mean, the numbers aren't bad. Like, what's your primary complaint against him?
It's Matthew
Boyd. Like, he's just not a number one?
I love when you look at the numbers and you're like, it's still Matthew Boyd. It's like, it's still Jack Leiter. That kind of thing.
I've just bet on so many pitchers over the years that did really well in the regular season, and then they get to the playoffs and they start shaking. Not that he's going to do that.
How I feel about Max Fried.
Yeah. I understand it. Sometimes playoffs just, they're a different animal for some of these pitchers that have never done it before. I think we should do a side bet. I think it's me against you two. What are we betting? Donkster? Custody for a
weekend. Custody. Let's do that. Sammy P. Oh, my God. We got to go. That's it for the day.
You can have him.
We'll talk to you soon, Sammy P. Have a great day.
Bye.
Oh, we're still going? We still got an hour? Oh, we got time? Oh, my God. I thought, I was out way early on that. Oh, my God. Oh, God. Thank God. I saw, I was like, whoa.
Don't speak so soon, man.
Is this, okay, be honest, though, Sammy P. How much of this is you loving the White Sox? Because you're a White Sox guy as opposed to the Cubs.
Oh, it has nothing to do with that. Nothing.
No, it doesn't. This is just pure Matthew Boyd. You don't like Matthew Boyd.
I mean, it's not personal. I just don't. I don't trust Matthew Boyd.
Okay, that's fair.
I accept that he doesn't feel like a number one starter. Like some of these guys are aces. He does not feel like that.
All right,
custody,
we'll see who's right.
On the line.
Custody on the line. Donkster. Whatever happens today, we could lose him tomorrow. This could be his last appearance on the show. All right, that's going to do it for us here on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Up next is Bet Sweats. I'm Jinx. That's Chelsea. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you.